When we're talking about the former head of the KGB, President Putin, in Russia, this has not been an ally. We have not seen any reciprocation from the Russians on this because this former KGB agent still has a sense of hostility to the West.
As we've tried to restart this relationship several times, that maybe now is a moment to pause and think about how we're going to move forward with Russia. They are unresponsive to us as it relates to the tragedies that are going on in Syria. They are unresponsive to us as it relates to further nuclear arms reduction.
That was Senator Bob Menendez, Democrat from New Jersey, and before that, Congressman Ed Royce, Republican from California, talking about Putin, the NSA, and what the next play should be. Hey, America, how are you? America Tonight, the name of this show, Kate Delaney, my name. Maybe over the weekend you had a chance to put all that aside, all the conversation about the NSA, and what wasn't happening in Washington, what's not happening in your neck of the woods, the frustrations of lopping all these jobs together as we see small business being trampled on, the IRS starting to question small business owners. In fact, you might be somebody listening who got one of those letters that asks whether you're underreporting your business income. There is now a much broader initiative aimed at pretty much the bullseye at boosting the federal tax receipts. I mean, they need more money. So the IRS is saying that some businesses are not reporting all cash sales because they're trying to get a break on their taxes, and it's a very big problem. So they've sent out these threatening letters. In fact, they say they're sending out 20,000 letters to business owners, and they're going to crank it up. And that is a small portion, really, of the number of small businesses, which is probably in the millions. I think I saw a stat one time, and I've talked about this so often on the show, that like 90% of business in the United States is small business, because that's 500 people or less. And they're saying that they want to expand that. That's going to be a big headache for a lot of people who have these businesses when they're having to worry about possibly being audited and going through records and all that sort of stuff. So, of course, the IRS always doing their best to endear themselves to us here in the United States. Listen, I'm for paying your fair share, but we are seeing that people are getting this every which way that you can imagine. That's part of the problem with business in general. It's no joke. The corporate tax is just way too high. Lower it, and you'll have many more taxes that'll flow into Washington and keep the system going. So the NSA, now all of a sudden, there's talk of reform. The comments that you heard, it's interesting, because this was a big part of what the Sunday shows were. I call it the Sunday swirl because it's just talking heads on ABC, Fox, NBC. It's politics. It's what's happening. And so now that we've got the politicians on break, they're making more appearances on those shows. And you had people like Congressman Mike McCall from Texas, who is the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, who says this is the president's fault because he didn't adequately explain or defend the surveillance programs to America. So he dismissed the proposed reforms as window dressing. Now, to back that up a little bit, the president is talking about weeding out some of the processes that the NSA does. I laugh because this was never discussed, ever, until Ed Snowden came into play and dumped out all that classified information. And the NSA went berserk and the world went nuts, realizing that now there's pinpointed information on what's really happening in the, let's face it, in spying. When it comes to spying, who's being spied on? And it's you, it's me, it's whoever happens to say the right trigger word. So really, the leakers' revelations now led to the president saying they want to revamp the Secret Surveillance Court, and the Patriot Act. Are you kidding? That is huge news. And when he was pressed on it, because he had a free-for-all news conference at the White House on Friday, when he was pressed on it, he said that Snowden's actions really sparked a more rapid policy debate. And Snowden said that was his goal, if you remember. He said, the president, this is a quote, "It's not enough for me as president to have confidence in these programs. The American people need to have confidence in them as well." So he's saying that some of the technology could be changed and they could embed things that would prevent snooping regardless of whatever the government does. And you know why this is happening? It's happening because there's pressure even from Democrats to do something. It's just intensify. Easy for me to say. So the proposal is extraordinary. And this is because of what Snowden, the fugitive, now being seeking asylum in Russia and being granted that. They've resisted saying anything, and now they're saying that this is part of the reason why. Give me a break. So the spy policy debate is alive and well. And it's alive and well because of the guy being labeled a traitor. And who still the United States would love for Russia to hand over. Isn't that interesting? Because that was really the thrust of what his news conference was on Friday. And, you know, specific quotes, I jotted them down. "I don't have an interest, and the people at the NSA don't have an interest in doing anything other than making sure that where we can prevent a terrorist attack, where we can get information ahead of time, that we're able to carry out that critical task. I'm comfortable that the program currently is not being abused." So he calls for all this reform, but says the program isn't being abused and says, on balance, we have a process and a procedure that the American people should feel comfortable about. So he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. We need to do something with the technology, but we should feel good about it. We should feel good about that. Oh, and if we go back in history, there was a 2005 Senate debate over reauthorization of the Patriot Act, and Obama was one of the 9 senators who signed a letter expressing concern about the potential for leaders to abuse provisions of the act. Specifically, he focused on Section 215, which he and the other senators said would allow fishing expeditions targeting, I remember this, innocent Americans by allowing the collection of phone records. And of course, Section 215 is the provision he recently defended and the one he said Friday should be reexamined. So a lot has changed. A lot has changed. Now, when he came into office in 2009, he did make some changes, including adding auditing and some other oversight, but apparently not enough. This is going to be more of that debate. It's going to crank up when everybody gets back from vacation in the fall. All right, stay with us here on America Tonight as we do some revisiting. It's part of our re-rack here on Sundays. Mark Stevens next on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Alabama, it's coming, and it's the event you and your family will not want to miss. The Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 7th and 8th, at the newly renovated Oxford Civic Center in Oxford, Alabama, where admission is totally free. There's something for everyone. Free classes and seminars on topics like food preparation, food harvesting, and food preservation. Free giveaways every 30 minutes. You could win seed kits, food, doTERRA oil, starter kits, water filters, and more, including a year's supply of food. Guest speakers include Bob from Black Dog Survival School, Mike from White Harvest Seeds, Dr. Tom Stoner from Dr. Med Kits, and more. And be sure to stop by and check out the Youngevity booth, the Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, September 7th and 8th, a weekend of education and preparation that's totally free to attend. Don't forget, the Country Inn and Suites in Oxford has special rates available for those who attend the expo. Get all the details at thesouthernpreppers.com. That's thesouthernpreppers.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Every month we talk with Attorney Mark Stevens, who specializes in DWI cases, and we've learned a lot about things that you shouldn't do when you're stopped, just even in general, and we also kick around other things concerning the law with him. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. Thanks for having
me on. No sharks. No sharks, right? Because it's Shark Week, and I know in your neck of the woods, every once in a while, all of a sudden they're finding some of these great whites.
That's right. Down in Cape Cod, they do get some big ones down there. They come in pretty close.
Just don't surf.
Yeah, don't surf and don't swim. You know, a little Jaws theme, you know, runs through my mind when I'm down there. But they get
these
big ones, and they come awful close, and that, you know, now the helicopters go up over them, and they can see them and everything, and it's really kind of scary.
It is kind of scary. I spent some time in Cape Cod, so I know exactly what you're talking about. We got a couple of emails here from listeners who have now heard you for the last couple of months. We got this one from John listening to you in Austin, Texas. He heard you on the show with me. And John says, hey, Kate, when you have Mark Stevens back on, got a quick question for Mark. What happens, and you may have asked this, but what happens if you refuse to take a breathalyzer test when you're pulled over and you're asked to do so? What does that mean? Is it bad for your chances? Do you have to take the breathalyzer test? What should you do if you were ever in that situation?
Well, it depends on what state you're in, and you should look at your state laws. Texas is a lot different than it is up here in New Hampshire and Massachusetts. In Massachusetts, for example, the breath test refusal is not admissible against you in trial. So the jurors would never hear that the person refused to take a breath test. There are administrative penalties for it, though, that DMV or the Registry of Motor Vehicles can suspend your license for refusing. But the jurors don't hear about it, and that's something that you have to weigh. In New Hampshire, the jurors do hear about it. They do hear that you refuse to take a breath test, and the state is allowed to say, you know, you had the opportunity to prove your innocence and you didn't do it. However, if you get a bad number on that breath test machine, if you get a 0.10 or 0.112 or something, then that's one more hurdle that you have to overcome. So really, it depends on what the result would be, what you should do. Also, how many prior DWI arrests you have is relevant, because the penalties for refusing go up incrementally as well as they do for conviction. So if you refuse the first time, it might be 6 months. The second time in our state, it's 2 years. So, really you just got to, the safest thing to do is not drink and drive at all. But if you do, you know, then you have to kind of weigh what do I think the results of this test would be? Because a bad test result is really bad.
Yeah, so watch out for that. And no,
it can land you in jail. If the, you know, most states have these aggravated or enhanced or super DWI laws where if your BAC is, in our state it's 0.16, in some states it's 0.20. If your breath alcohol concentration is above that, then you start looking at mandatory jail time and enhanced license losses and things like that. So it's a catch-22 that you find yourself in. You just have to figure out which what the best option is for you in your state.
Yeah. We got this one from Mark in Florida who says, ask Mr. Stevens about DWI laws. Does he think that they're fair, or does he think that some of them are just a little too strict? Have they clamped down, in other words, too much on the average driver?
That's a great question. No, I don't think that they're fair to the average driver. They're not fair to the social drinker. They, you know, they throw the net out too wide and cast it a little bit too tight to where, you know, they can arrest you for almost anything now. If they smell alcohol, they're going to grab you. DWI roadblocks, they arrest almost everybody that comes in there that smells of or says that they had a beer. And these people are far from drunk, but they're afraid to take the breath test because the breath test machines don't work that well. So, no, I don't think the laws are fair. I think the penalties are too harsh. For a first offender particularly, you know, to take away their license, they lose their job, they lose their house, they lose a lot for sometimes case of very marginal impairment or no impairment at all.
Mm. Shelley in New York asked the question kind of along the same lines, saying that unfairly she was put in that position. She was nervous. She was pulled over. And she said to ask you that she told them, honestly, she had only had one glass of wine. And then before you knew it, she was out of the car and she was doing all the tests that they asked her to do that she couldn't do. She said it's like they practically wanted me to dance on a rope. And so then she was hauled in, and it turned out she didn't have a blood alcohol level above the legal limit. So does she have any way for retribution for what happened to her?
You know what she should do? There's what they call qualified immunity for police officers or government agents who are acting in the course of their duties that make it difficult to sue them, but not impossible. If there's a videotape of her and she's just flagrantly, blatantly sober and they just arrested her for the heck of it just to see if she would fight it, or they just assume she was going to be over and she blows a .02 or something, she might want to consider consulting with a civil lawyer in her state to see if an action against the police officers might be appropriate, particularly if there's a videotape. That would be a great thing that, you know, if people started doing, it would kind of tether the cops to the truth, and they wouldn't arrest people that are just plain sober just because, you know, because there's a big push to get everybody to rid the streets of drunk drivers. They don't need to rid the streets of sober drivers along with them.
Yeah. Here's another one from Raymond, also in the great state of Texas. And Raymond says, you know, what do you do or what happens when you're pulled over, you're a little bit nervous and you blurt out too much information? What do you advise? I guess there's no way to reel it back in is what he's saying.
That's the hard part, is that people do blurt stuff out. And you want to think about what you're going to say before it happens. And you know, just, I'm not encouraging anyone to make anything up, but you also don't need to tell them your life story. And if you had 9 beers, that's not a great thing to tell them, because that will come back and bite you. Some people can drink 6, 7, 8, 9 beers and be okay if it's spread out over time and they ate and, you know, maybe they're a larger person. But telling them that is going to come back and bite you. If you say anything more than a couple, you know, it's not going to work out well. It's not going to end well, because people just don't believe that you're not impaired to some degree if you had 6 beers, although, you know, obviously we all know people that can have 6 and be fine. So if you blurt something out, you can't pull it back in unless the cops violated your Miranda rights, and that's after arrest. So at the initial thing at the roadside, you know, when you're answering questions, you know, tell your lawyer what you told them. If there's a video, you know, he or she will get it. But those statements are the worst evidence against you there can possibly be, worse than field sobriety test and worse even than a breath test.
Yeah. We're speaking with attorney Mark Stevens. You can catch him at byebyedwiofcourse.com. Mark, my question is, you know, I was thinking about this knowing you're coming on. As you look through your case, and you've done this for a long time now, is there one that stands out in your mind that you feel good about where you were able to get somebody, I don't want to say off, but acquitted of what they were being accused of? Because it was just so egregious and this crazy evidence didn't really add up.
Oh, sure.
One that was a feather in your cap.
Yeah, sure. There's lots and lots of them. You know, it's not an advertisement, but there's hundreds of them on my website that have won. But I'll give you an example. A case came in. The driver had been in a really bad accident. There was serious bodily injury. His blood alcohol concentration was 0.19. Passenger was also significantly hurt. Blood everywhere. Beer cans everywhere. Inside the truck was literally sheared in half, and it took the power out in a big section of Portsmouth, a pretty big city here in New Hampshire. And it looks like a horrible case, right? Everybody's hurt, slings, mm-hmm. people coming into court hurt, high BAC. And when we dug into the case and had an accident reconstructionist look at it, first of all, we found out through the independent blood test that the blood was not a 1.9, it was significantly lower. Second, through an accident reconstruction, we found out that my person was not the driver. He ended up in the driver's seat, but based on seatbelt burns and injuries and so forth that were obtained through hospital records and pictures of the two fellows that were involved in the accident, we proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the other guy was the driver. Now, the state was going forward with that case. It got right into jury selection, and the jurors were just about to be sworn when the state dropped it because they could not come up with an expert that could refute what ours could. So here's a guy, knocked out cold, wakes up in a car, has a 0.19 blood alcohol concentration, can't remember anything, and he's wasted. But the problem was that he wasn't the driver. And that's what I'm proud of, because that guy was just innocent. You know, didn't do anything wrong, it was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But if you look at the facts that come in and look at the police report, he looks like, you know, the drunkest person in Rockingham County.
Right. And you know, imagine, I mean, obviously you should be proud of that, because can you imagine what would have happened to him if had been convicted?
His first plea offer was for state prison.
Oh, wow. Yeah, does he send you a Christmas card every year?
I can't say, because whatever he sends me is privileged, but as you can imagine, it's a pretty happy outcome for somebody who thought he was going to prison and ended up with giving each other a high five.
Yeah, no kidding. Good for you. All right, Mark Stevens, always interesting to kick it around with you. And we say you can send me some emails at americatonight.net. Great questions by everybody. Bye-bye, DWI. Thanks, Mark.
They were great. Thank you, Kate.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
People are taking charge of their lives with healthier lifestyles. That's why you have to experience the Raleigh-Durham Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event. One day only. Saturday, August 17th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Durham Convention Center in Durham, North Carolina. Explore the Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event, where learning is fun and delicious. Discover the world of gluten-free with free samples, cooking demonstrations, and lectures with well-known members of the gluten-free
community.
Enter the raffle, and you could win the grand prize of a catered barbecue from Bonesuckin' Sauce, valued at $3,000. The Raleigh-Durham Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event, August 17th at the Durham Convention Center. For more, visit RaleighGlutenFreeExpo.blogspot.com. RaleighGlutenFreeExpo.blogspot.com. Presented by Udi's Gluten Free, Glutino, Enjoy Life Foods, and Longevity.
There is a false sense of security that the greatest economic crash since the Great Depression is over. But unemployment is still at a 20-year high, and until Americans are working again, the economy has not recovered. What is the smartest investment you can make? It's food. Having a supply of eFoods Direct 25-year shelf life food is your best investment for the troubled times today and the future. For 32 years, the folks at eFoods Direct have helped thousands take the trouble out of troubled times. So to celebrate our 32-year anniversary, get the best insurance possible with a special one-time offer. A two-month food supply for only $320 and free shipping. That's 352 servings of our newest and most popular award-winning recipes at less than a dollar per serving. The 25-year shelf life allows you to lock your food cost against inflation. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. The two-month supply is only available for a limited time. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of world wide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Topping Week in Town, Elysium raked in $30.5 million at the box office this past weekend. It's a sci-fi flick where the planet is burning and is sick. And if you're poor, you are stuck on the planet Earth. If you are rich, you are at Elysium, which is a space station that the poor people on Earth can see. Some think this has a political meaning. I'm saying it's sci-fi, and so what if they stretched it? I thought it was pretty decent. I actually went and caught the flick over the weekend, and it beat out some of the other comedies and children's movies that were on tap for first-timers that were at the fresh to the box office anyway, including Were the Millers, which was a Jennifer Aniston comedy, rather. So Elysium obviously struck a chord with some people. I think there is a renewed interest in science fiction type movies anyway, and this is probably part of it. Remember, Oblivion came out about a month ago, month and a half maybe now, with Tom Cruise, and it was sort of a similar theme. I think Elysium was better than Oblivion, I have to say. All right, it's all about the numbers when we do one of these week in counts, and boy, we got a ton of numbers to get to, including the Attorney General with all kinds of big plans that include outlining a new drug offender sentencing plan. A lot of people have complained that we lock up and waste too much of our money on going after the petty criminal, the person that's caught with an ounce of pot or whatever it might be. The U.S. imprisons a higher percentage of its population than other large countries, and that's partially because of the anti-drug laws that were passed in the 80s and 90s. That shows out, that proves to bear when you look at all the statistics. So now with a bipartisan support, the goal is having some legislation aimed at giving the federal judges more discretion in applying mandatory minimums to certain drug offenders. This kind of a law would save us billions of dollars. So I'm going to say, for once, I agree with Eric Holder, but the Democrats and the Republicans are pretty much in agreement on this one anyway. It makes sense. Some of the sentences are so ridiculous, and it costs us so much more money in the long run. How about a meteor shower? Would you like that? I can arrange it for you. Well, not really me, but I can tell you when you might be able to see one, which would be very, very cool. And that'll be on Tuesday. According to NASA, the Perseid meteor shower is just 24 hours away. It happens in July and August as the Earth's orbit takes us through the debris of what they call the Swift-Tuttle comet, And so the Earth's gravity, as it's been explained to me, not like I'm some scientist, pulls in chunks of debris that would mean like small rocks and other minerals, and that's what you see in the sky. It's kind of crazy. It looks, it just looks like a swirl far away, kind of dashes. I don't know how to, I've seen it once. It's like these dashes in the sky, and so you'll know when you see them. It's like falling stars, I guess. And that's what it is. You see 100 falling stars per hour with a waxing crescent moon, so you don't get very much interference from the moonshine. So it's a good time to actually check it out, and check it out on Tuesday between midnight and 6 a.m. And, you know, people have watched the Perseid showers for a long time. It's just a question of the viewing and if you're going to be able to see it clear enough. But if the moon thing holds up, then it should be pretty good viewing, and it is pretty cool. I've seen it only once. And if somebody hadn't explained it to me, I don't know that I would really understand what I was looking at. I would think falling stars, and which, hey, ironically, that's exactly what you'd be looking at. But now you know the rest of the story, that it's that particular meteor shower and the reason why it happens. You know, when public transit goes on a strike, for the people who really rely on it, boy, it's a bear to figure out a way how to get around that, especially in the city that doesn't have a lot of other options. Riders on San Francisco's BART trains at least got a little bit of a reprieve on a threatened strike on Sunday because a judge approved a 60-day cooling off period. So some people were starting to hit the panic button on, ugh, what do I do? But the judge signed off on the governor's request for that time period. The talks are pretty nasty between the Bay Area Rapid Transit and the unions. And this lays off the strike possibilities until the beginning of October. 400,000 commuters. It's our fifth, and I didn't realize this, and this is why I put this in the mix here for We Can Count. BART is the nation's fifth largest rail system. Crazy. 400,000 commuters, they estimate, each weekday are on BART. And the workers from the two unions average about $71,000 in base salary, $11,000 in overtime. The workers pay nothing toward their pensions, and they pay a flat $92 a month for health insurance. Boy, that sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? They're not happy. So negotiations began 4 months ago, and then the BART workers went on strike for 4 days in July, and it was brutal. San Francisco has some terrible traffic on what they call the peninsula, and the traffic jams were legendary. They're still talking about trying to get to work for 5 hours. There was long lines and the very few other options for the buses, and they have ferries there too, but still pretty tough for people to get to and from San Francisco. Very, very tough. All right, let's move on to something else relating to justice for all. It's a sad, sad story. A father killed himself or kills the son, then himself at a YMCA in New Hampshire. Imagine the shock of that. And that's exactly what it was in Manchester, a place where we actually were for America Tonight, if you remember, when we were there for the first primary in 2012. So a New Hampshire guy used a handgun. He shot his 9-year-old boy to death. Then he took his own life. It was during a supervised visitation at the office, and an adult supervisor was there. Mooney Savon produced a handgun all of a sudden, and boom, shot his son Joshua before he shot himself, and they couldn't do anything to stop it. It was that quickly it happened, and it happened at 10 in the morning. And I guess the father, they say, was depressed after he returned home from a funeral, and he had suicidal thoughts, and then lo and behold, who thought that would happen? And they're still trying to figure out, was there any way they could have prevented it, which is a useless exercise, because how would the caseworker have any idea? There was no violence in the past whatsoever. Just another very sad, sad story as to, some of the things that happened that you have no idea is going on in someone's world, that he would possibly do that in a visitation. Now, of course, they're looking at, with YMCAs, maybe some protections and things that they should add. So that'll be added to the conversation anyway. Nelson Mandela, we've talked about the condition of Nelson Mandela, and it's odd. Some days you get a report that, geez, it seems like he's doing much better. He's in critical condition, however, and the current South African president, Jacob Zuma, says that he's making a slow but steady improvement. He's got a lung infection. It seemed before that he was on death's doorstep, but apparently the 94-year-old former president, who's been hospitalized since June 8th because of this infection, may come through it on the other side, at least if you believe what the President Zuma is saying. The government didn't release a lot of details on his illness because the whole privacy thing, but they say that, I thought he was on life support. I remember talking about that on the air one night and what the impact of Mandela was. And even a number of relatives have talked of Mandela returning now soon to his house in Johannesburg. But so you wonder if that's sort of confusion on the part of who knows what's going on with him. But if he's improving, then I suppose that's what will happen about that. Israel, with a big story, they approved 1,200 new settlement homes. Oof, you know how this goes. An Israeli flag is now in front of the West Bank, a Jewish settlement of Malia Adumim, and this is in right there. And the decision to build the new homes in East Jerusalem and the West Bank is just ahead of peace talks with the Palestinians. So there was no comment from the Palestinians, but the announcement by the housing minister, I'm sure, will cause a crack in what already is a tense atmosphere of distrust between the two sides. Because, they've had, these talks are after a 5-year freeze. I can't believe it's been that long. But the Palestinian president, Abbas, has insisted he wouldn't resume talks without an Israeli settlement freeze, because he argues that the expansion of settlements is preempting the outcome of the negotiations. So wonder if these will get canceled. He agreed to the talks without a settlement freeze, and that was kind of a trade-off. But does this in any way hurt those upcoming negotiations? I've said this before. In my lifetime, will we ever see full-on peace in the Middle East? No, I don't think so. Stay with us.
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
What spring is like on Jupiter, in other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my life with sun. Let me sing forevermore. You love all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words,
please. All right, we're hitting the final straightaway of this hour of America Tonight. A good reminder, you want to hit us up on Facebook or Twitter, you can do that. Go to americatonight.net. You know, I'm really in the mood to pull out the dungeon because I just don't understand how these guys get into power. And it could be a woman. Women can be just as abusive in a powerful situation. So it's easy to pick on some of these men with sexual proclivities. But the problem is with the San Diego mayor, he's like a nut. Now he's like a nutty caricature of himself. So the guy's name is Bob Filner, and he was in therapy to deal with inappropriate behavior toward women. There's people all calling for his resignation heading into the weekend. His attorneys say that the leader of the nation's eighth largest city, did you know San Diego is the eighth largest city? It is. Has this enormous pressure to resign because of these allegations. And he's ending the therapy, ended it over the weekend. He's going to continue counseling on an outpatient basis. And he's going to take off next week and not be available to comment. And, I mean, this is what he said. He said he was going to do this therapy on August 5th and that he acknowledged that he was inappropriate toward women for years and said he would return to work on August 19th after 2 weeks. So you know, he completes the 2-week program. When did he start? Whatever, whatever. I just think he needs to resign. I agree with that. Eighth largest city, lots happening in San Diego. There are a lot of good people, smart business folks or other people that they could put in that position. I mean, really, the therapy is just to head off all the nonsense because people were coming out of the woodwork to tell their ridiculous stories about forcing kisses and strange comments, bizarre touching, and just really stupid things. You go to see the mayor about a problem, and if you're an attractive woman, hey, he just might put his arms around you and make you feel a little bit uncomfortable. So I'm going to say, Mayor Bob, it's just not cutting it. You cut the therapy early, or you didn't, and you went all the way through. Just resign. Save face. Get out of the way. Put somebody else in position who really, really wants that gig. So without further ado, let's give him a little time out in the America Tonight dungeon.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
There you go. No windows and no doors and no women that can go and visit the mayor and have a conversation with him in a professional manner and then be stunned by what happens afterwards. You know, it's interesting the reaction that's come out of California on this one. All 9 members of the city council naturally have called for him to resign. And he's only 8 months into a 4-year term, by the way. And that includes 2 holdout types who had a statement on Friday that he should leave. Because, of course, there's just no way you can back this guy up. It's reprehensible. You just can't excuse it away. Even U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer, which I have my thoughts on Boxer, but I have to agree with her here. And this is what's interesting. She says, her comment was interesting. She says, the allegations against Filner have shaken her to her core. I mean, it's just stunning. It's just stunning the things that he's done. So he's 70 years old. He's divorced. He's the first Democratic leader in 20 years, right? And the Democratic Party was excited about him. They should have vetted him a little bit better. The therapy thing, it's just not going to be enough. He just needs to get out of the way. It was a mistake and needs to get out of the way. And San Diego needs to move on from there. And there, as I already mentioned, there are plenty of other people that they could put into that position rather than a guy like Filner. It makes no sense. San Diego is a thriving city. It's a desirable place to live. It costs a fortune to live there because it has just the perfect weather. But there are definitely other people that could jump into that spot in a second. So move out of the way. Move out of the way. But a couple other quick odds and ends to hit you with here at the tail end of America Tonight. And it includes this one. You know, I was just back in New Jersey and I talked about Sandy and some of the rebuilding. I saw that they're lifting the houses up now, propping them up when they can because of the floods and the weather and possibilities, and people who didn't have insurance or people who had insurance but now have to pay more insurance are paying up to $12,000 in flood insurance. There was also another problem that was going on. There was a problem with dolphins washing ashore. About 130 bottlenose dolphins have washed ashore on the northeast coast. 3 tested positive for a contagious marine mammal virus. And that's just 3 of the ones where that's happened. But it's a lot of people that have gone to the beach have been sad, of course. They see the dolphin gasping for air and they can't get anyone down to help them fast enough. And then, you know, it's unusual to see that. And the large amount in trying to investigate this has been really a nightmare. And it's mostly the beaches in New Jersey where they've found this. It's this contagious pathogen among dolphins that they can get. And they had this happen once before in the late 80s where they had about 700 or so dolphins that washed up. And the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says that the presence of the virus in one of them that happened to one or two or three that came ashore, it's still unclear. They can't say it's for sure going to be what affects all of the dolphins, but it could be just a weird, strange anomaly or something else, but it's definitely worrisome as to what's pushing those dolphins in that direction. Because I think, really, if you say 130 bottlenose dolphins washing ashore, that's a very high number, for goodness sake. There's something is happening there that's causing that. And it's interesting because when I was in New Jersey, I did see dolphins when early morning that were, they weren't dead dolphins. They were jumping up in the water and they were going down the coastline. So there was definitely the presence of dolphins, but sad to see that happen. The last thing we'll leave you with here on this edition of America Tonight, back to the more serious side of the show where we're talking about, what's not happening on the Hill and what is happening. I said this maybe about 5 months ago when there's this big push about immigration and immigration reform that I don't think we're going to see immigration reform by the end of this year. So it's going to be a Congress that goes and passes once again without passing very many laws that have real teeth in them. And the one thing that seemed as though that they were going to come to agreement on was immigration reform, but not so fast. You have immigration advocates that are all over the place on this. They're trying to persuade the Republicans in the House to pass some kind of an overhaul. You've got businesses, labor groups, and others that are pushing on this. And this is a 5-week summer recess. When everybody comes back, immigration is high on the list, but will there be immigration reform? Will there be anything signed into law that includes border security, changes to visa programs, workplace enforcement, that kind of stuff? I mean, all that would have to be in play, I think, to get any kind of an agreement. So I don't think we're going to have immigration reform, and I don't think we're going to have very many laws when it's all said and done that get passed in this Congress. Thanks for listening to America Tonight.
Burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts, and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.